In our program on Friday, we were considering the statements that Yahweh made regarding the nation that caused the Syrian war, the nation whose weapons were used to bring Syria down, the government down, as to also render Damascus as a heap of twisted rubble. The nation that was involved in supplying weapons to the terrorists that have participated in that war. The nation that, following that war, will play the major role in dismembering Israel, forcing Israel to give up the West Bank after having forced it to give up Gaza, thinning the nation at the waist, making it no longer viable. The nation that provided all of the weapons that will be deployed against Israel during the Magog War, when well over 100 million Muslims will flood into the land. Yahweh was speaking of that nation when he said to America, woe, expressing dissatisfaction and a warning to the land of whirling and buzzing wings, which is from the region beyond, situated on the opposite side of the direction of the rivers of Cush, which would be either the Nile Delta or Mesopotamia. And we've done the our homework there. We've taken a line from Jerusalem through the Nile Delta, and we know that it intersects the Florida Keys, the southern tip of Texas, and the Hawaiian Islands, and we've gone the other way with our line through northern part of Mesopotamia and the mountains of Cush, and found that that line from Jerusalem intersects Alaska, and therefore we've also done the our homework and drawn a line from Jerusalem across the Mediterranean on the other side of the world through the Straits of Gibraltar, and we find that that intersects Washington, D.C. And so we know where that land is located. It dispatches, Yahweh says, envoys by way of the sea, so in floating vessels on the surface of the waters, the messengers travel swiftly, indulgently, and immorally, without any regard for the consequence of their mission. That is the statement we ended our program on yesterday, or not yesterday, but on Friday, considering the role that the United States plays in trying to impose its will through military alliances and through projecting a force on the rest of the world. This is what God has next to say about America. This nation of people from different races and places is tall. Boy, and there's going to be three times now that God's going to emphasize the racial aspect of this nation, which is appropriate considering our last discussion. This nation of people from different races and places is tall, often intoxicated, and usually immodest. And they have a propensity to take things away from others. They are scrubbed clean, smooth-skinned, and completely shaven, and yet typically reckless. These people are feared for having caused distress through intimidation and awesomely dreadful acts, but are also respected by some for their achievements and capabilities from here to there and beyond in a future time. So while most countries are formed based upon a single ethnicity, in fact, almost every country that has emerged in the last 50 years has been based upon the autonomy of a single ethnic group, there are few places on earth that can accurately be described as goy, a nation of people from different races and places. But one particular nation is regarded as a melting pot, as an asylum for the masses, as home to more ethnicities and cultures than any other. It's America. It's a compilation of nations, an identity which serves as the country's trademark. In its listing of accomplished Americans by ethnic or national origin, Wikipedia presents people from 175 distinct places, races, and cultures. But goy is just the first of many descriptive terms that Yahweh has deployed to warn those living during the Syrian war, during the time that Israel is being reduced in size, during the time when a tidal wave of Islamic terrorists flood into the Promised Land, that one nation above all others is of particular concern. In this time in history, in this flow of events, from this perspective, there's only one qualifying candidate. Something that is affirmed by the fact that Goy, nation of different races, is singular, not plural. God isn't addressing a variety of different countries, but one solitary nation. Second, only to countries surrounding the Baltic Sea, the tallest people, which is Mashaq, on planet Earth, live in the United States, a place where superstars in politics and athletics often loom over ordinary individuals. But above all, Americans are Mashaq, immodest, the superpower known far and wide for its superiority complex and condescending arrogance. Considering itself the richest nation on Earth, however, America is the most in debt. Considering itself the freest place on Earth, America incarcerates the highest percentage of its population. Considering itself a peacemaker, America boasts of and deploys the most menacing military in human history. Considering itself moral, no nation is more plagued by drug addiction, both prescribed and illicit. Combined with alcohol abuse, Americans are especially prone to intoxication. And yet it is America's propensity to confiscate the property of others that distinguishes this nation, as especially Mashaq. First, it was the indigenous people of the continent who were ravaged by the westward conquest. You know, when we were having our discussion in the last segment, Scott says, you know, I think this is an interesting conversation, but, you know, we got three white guys talking about race. And I said, I don't know about you, paleface, but, you know, I'm Sioux Indian. The history of America's malfeasance, of their savage treatment of the indigenous peoples of this continent, is absolutely inexcusable. I mean, if there ever was a nation based upon stealing the land of indigenous people, it's this one. Even look at Rome. But Rome was awesomely abusive to those it conquered. I mean, stunningly abusive. Stealing their sons to feed their need for men and their legions. Stealing their money, stealing their food. Torturing and killing anyone who dared rebel against their oppression. Rome didn't steal the people's lands. It didn't herd them into concentration camps that we call in America reservations. There's no nation on earth that has been so aggressively pursuing a policy of manifest destiny. This land is mine, and just because you lived on it previously doesn't matter. It's mine. I'm going to take it from you. And, you know, after ravaging the native population through this onward Western conquest, then it was the Mexicans in the Southwest and the Spanish in the Southeast and the Mexican-American and the Spanish-American wars. Even the Hawaiians. You know, if you just want to get a dose of reality, read how Americans, European Caucasians, dealt with the Hawaiians, the native populations, when America decided that we were going to take Hawaii. It's not a pretty picture. You know, we claim that, oh, we didn't steal Alaska. We bought it. We didn't buy it from the Eskimos. They were the native peoples. We bought it from the Russians. Did you find any deed where the Russians purchased the land from the Eskimos, the native indigenous populations? It really is a ugly history, folks. The whole lust for manifest destiny, it's despicable. I mean, Yahweh has nailed us, absolutely put the tail on the donkey in this particular case. And yet, you know, from Yahweh's perspective, there's nothing the United States has done that's more diabolical than leading the charge to take his land away from his people. And make no mistake, the United States plays the major role in that. The United States is the lead nation in this current proposal for Israel to sacrifice the West Bank and most of Jerusalem to the Muslims. The United States was the impetus behind Israel giving up Gaza. The United States was the reason that Israel gave up the Sinai. The United States is the reason that Israel gave up the buffer zone that it had in southern Lebanon. The United States is the primary impetus trying to compel Israel to give up the Golan. It's a sad story, but the fact is the United States is the most aggressive and diabolical nation on earth when it comes to forcing God's chosen people to give up their God-given land. And God is not pleased. This idea, God bless America, you've got to be absolutely out of your ever-loving mind to sing it when you recognize the truth about our positioning relative to the land of Israel. It is nothing but an aggravation to God, an abomination from his point of view. And in this context, considering the transition from the Syrian war leading to the divestiture of Israel, we'd be wise to see America's role in both travesties as the reason that Yahweh deployed Mashach in conjunction with his condemnation of the United States of America. In order to lure new conscripts, the U.S. Navy presents itself in its commercials as a force for good. And yet it has been morat, typically deployed in a reckless manner. It's contributed to the destruction of Afghanistan and Iraq, making two bad situations much worse. But even its most acclaimed moment, the United States carelessly sacrificed 100 additional troops for every one of the 3,000 sailors who were needlessly killed at Pearl Harbor. This is something that we have done. We are reckless. We do not consider the consequences of our actions and have made many bad situations much worse. We'll be back in a moment. Yahweh called America reckless, and that presupposes unsuspected consequences of a thoughtless and improperly planned, ignorant and or irrational approach. Well, that defines America today, economically, politically, diplomatically, and militarily. We act in a way that it suggests that we have no concept of the consequences. You know, before we invaded Iraq, before we invaded Afghanistan, I was doing at the time 5 or 6 talk radio shows a day at the time, typically each an hour long. And I routinely expressed to the listeners the consequence of us invading those countries and delineated exactly what America experienced and said, you know, this is counterproductive. It's a horribly bad idea, and this is what it's going to lead to. I'm doing the same thing today regarding the Ukraine. I did the same thing regarding supplying weapons to the Sunni Mujahideen in Syria, saying that this strategy is ill-conceived. It is counterproductive. It is it's going to bring a horrible result. It's misguided. It's ignorant. And I routinely tell people that that the way that even the United States responded to Pearl Harbor was showed a total lack of understanding of consequence. I mean, to go and sacrifice 100 lives for everyone you lost doesn't make anything right. Doesn't make anything better. You know, to think that deposing Saddam Hussein was good when you don't consider the consequence of what that brought into power. A country that was essentially controlled and operated by Iran and led directly to the Syrian war. You have to be able to understand the consequence of your actions. America doesn't seem to be able to do that. Even today, I mean, even using the ability to look back in time and to look at what happened, we can't seem to do that. You know, it's obvious that America sacrificed 60,000 of its young men and women in vain in Vietnam, based on a lie, making a bad situation worse. And yet, we don't understand cause and effect, consequence. We're reckless in this regard. Our language right now regarding Ukraine is completely and totally reckless. It's irresponsible. And we're reckless economically, which is why the country is bankrupt. We're reckless politically. We're reckless diplomatically. We're reckless militarily, making bad situations worse. You know, the nation has devalued its currency with irresponsible spending, and unable to pay for its bills has become a bankrupt debtor. Politically, America's leaders tongue-lash the world, dictating standards of behavior that the nation itself does not uphold. Recent victims include China, Russia, and of course, Israel. And knowing that it is disliked and distrusted, America's National Security Administration has broken its own constitution to unlawfully spy on its citizens as well as its supposed allies. The disclosures by WikiLeaks further demonstrate that the nation's diplomats are morally bankrupt, habitually putting America's in league with the least reputable people and the least desirable institutions on earth. And never in the history of humankind has a nation's military been so consistently counterproductive, endangering lives rather than protecting them by making one bad situation after another much worse. And yet nothing any nation has ever done has been as morat, irresponsible, indeed ignorant, irrational, grotesquely immoral, as the ill-advised invasion of Iraq, which set everything Yahweh has described in this prophecy in motion, including the ultimate dismemberment of Israel. Given that, or even if, should we say, that consequence was unintended. Let's say it was unintended. There's no excuse because every consequence was foreseeable. I foresaw them. I'm not a prophet. Long before they occurred, and told everyone who would listen how the ill effects of these invasions was going to be suicidal for America. Wasn't hard to see. Wasn't hard to know. Just examine the evidence. Use your mind. Be reasonable. Exercise good judgment, and you will understand. Even morats, which is the second term that Yahweh used to describe America, it's an adjective describing this nation's attitude, approach, and character. Even its benign attributes are applicable. More than most Americans are clean-shaven. You know, in fact, it was Glenn who mentioned that there's a current craze. There are commercials all over the place now to remove all body hair. I mean, it's a fixation now in America to be clean-shaven. And that's what the prophet was given the opportunity to see, which was would have been extraordinarily differentiating for him. Particularly recognizing how prone to being hairy, showing large beards, as a matter of fact, that his native Israelite population would have been. And also when it comes to personal hygiene, which is another of Morat's concepts, Americans spend over $800 a month, $800 a month on average per capita, leading the world and spending on fixation with personal hygiene. The next descriptive term is yare. Now, it can be translated revere or fear. And you really have to look at the context to know, do I apply revere or fear? And sometimes both are suggested, depending on one's perspective. You know, when it's applied to Yahweh, While he is encouraging us to revere and to respect him, and that's what he wants to be as our Father, revered and respected by us, the fear application of YHWH is also appropriate if you change the perspective. You know, if you're one of his covenant children, you're going to learn to revere and respect him. But if you're one of those who are in opposition to him, then ultimately you ought to be afraid of him because he is the ultimate judge. And so YHWH can convey either of these two concepts depending on the individual's perspective. And it can speak of earning respect to terrorizing intimidation. It's another apt depiction, therefore, of the United States, particularly circa 2014. There are those who admire America's early economic achievements and current military capabilities. But there is others who dread the nation's intimidating and frightening displays of shock and awe. And most of what the United States says, the rest of the world just says, oh, God, will those people ever just shut up? Misguided is the... And arrogant would be the view of so many in the world. So let there be no mistake. YHWH isn't describing the aspiring and declining superpowers extant during this writing. He's not talking about Egypt or Assyria or Babylonia. He isn't depicting those in the prophet's future or our past, Persia, Greece, or Rome. This isn't about the Mongols, the Byzantines, or the Ottomans. There is no nation of Syria to destroy during their time. Israel wouldn't be whole until long after they were all gone. So God is therefore speaking of today, of a nation, Ha'Allah, a distant in a future time from the prophet's perspective, our time. This is the only time when that prophecy has been applicable. You have to go back to the time when Syria was reconstituted as a nation, when Israel was reconstituted as a nation, and when Syria became embroiled in a fight for its very survival that will lead to its destruction and downfall, and Israel as a whole is being dismembered. So you're dealing with a time that began about 3 years ago. Speaking of our time, folks. He goes on to say in the 18th chapter, second statement of Yahshayah, this population, which is comprised of many different races, he goes back to it. That's the single most important aspect of America in terms of how it's known, this blending, this melting pot of races, this nation, which is singular nation, by the way, which is comprised of many different races, routinely vomits up and spews out nonsense in a strange foreign language, talking down to others, mocking them, while continually marching off to war on this condescending and moronic rhetoric. Before I continue, as we recognize that the Obama administration is guilty of doing everything that it has falsely accused Russia of doing in the Ukraine, of vomiting up and spewing out nonsense, the opposite of what's true, while talking down and mocking Russia, while actually positioning itself for war. The rhetoric of the United States during these past few weeks has been, it's like, you know, the comedy thing, the blue neck or blue collar comedy where one of the guys says, here's your sign. You know, when you do something stupid and say, okay, wear this, you know, plaster this on your forehead. Here's your sign. Well, this is the sign for America. This is YHWH's sign. It's a post-it note. Put it on your forehead, America. It's a population which is comprised of many different races, which routinely vomits up and spews out nonsense in a strange foreign language, talking down to others, mocking them, while constantly positioning itself for war, based upon its condescending and moronic rhetoric. That's what we were prior to the invasion of Iraq. That's what we were prior to the invasion of Vietnam before that. That's what we were based upon our invasion of Afghanistan. That is what we are now in positioning this fight in the Ukraine. It is frightening that God knew exactly how we were going to act and recorded it 2,700 years ago so that we would be able to see ourselves in this mirror of words and recognize that God's not blessing America. He's disgusted. He knew exactly what we'd become. He knew exactly what we'd say. He knew exactly what we were going to do. And he is not pleased. He's trying to warn those of us who are willing to listen to him, who aren't so poisoned by religion and politics and patriotism, that our ears are still open to what he has to say, that our minds are still receptive to his instruction. This goes on to say, always trying to impose its influence, establishing the rules, while expecting everyone or expecting to throw inhabitants out of their land. You know, it's our condescending rhetoric, our desire to impose our influence and establish the rules that are driving the Obama Kerry plan for the divestiture of the high ground of Israel to the Muslims. It's us imposing our influence and trying to establish the rules, particularly related to the ethnic groups in the Ukraine, as to what's appropriate and what's not. And we have no interest there. Why are we blabbering about it? Why are we trying to impose our will? Why are we trying to establish the rules? It's not our territory. It's not our people. It's not our job. But that's what we do. We're trying to impose our will in Japan, trying to impose our will in the Philippines, trying to impose our will in Israel, trying to impose our will in Syria, trying to impose our will in the Ukraine. That's all we do. We're just this gadfly that can't wait for the next issue so we can impose our will, try to establish the rules, try to determine who gets to live in a certain place and who does not. Goes on to say, this nation, singular, it aggressively subdues others, trampling them down. This is a country divided by rivers. Reminding us that he's addressing a single nation comprised of people from different ethnicities and cultures. Goy is repeated before Ka. That's deployed to address America's strange, amalgamated language and nonsensical rhetoric. The sheer volume of a veritable vomit spewed out of the mouths of American politicians, of American pastors, of American generals, of American journalists, of American professors, of American economists. It boggles the mind. I mean, if we were to have 10 hours a day just to present the news that was worth knowing and the motivations of those worth exposing, we couldn't do it justice. There's that much nonsense being promoted in this land. Collectively, these individuals have made a mockery of the truth, especially when they attempt to justify America's penchant for marching off to war. 101 wars in the 400 years since the Europeans invaded this continent. 101 wars, one every 4 years. Now, while American presidents have stood on more than their fair share of soapboxes and asserted themselves, I've got to say Barack Hussein Obama may be the most imposing and verbose of all time. It is as if he believes that he's the conductor and the world is his orchestra. Play and sing along, acquiesce to his terms, fall in line and capitulate, or else you'll be sanctioned, you'll be punished, you'll be condemned. Such is the case with his condescending attitude towards Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. the issue of greatest concern to Yahweh, because he is threatening to throw the Israelites out of their land and out of their homes. But do not dismiss the devastating consequence of his speech to Muslims from the birthplace of the Muslim Brotherhood, from Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt. His A New Beginning speech inspired an Islamic Reformation, a new beginning for Islam, thereby lighting the fuse for the next world war. America was built Mabuka, aggressively and subduing, trampling down the native population of North America. The nation was born ugly, merciless, ruthless, and violent. Those are the facts. They're not opinion. From the time the first European profiteer invaded the continent just 400 years ago, the colonists and the country citizens thereafter have waged, as I have said, 101 wars. Welcome back to the final segment of Shattering Myths for today. As we have pointed out previously, North America as a continent is Baza Naharim, is a land divided by rivers. It is one of the most distinguishable aspects of the physical layout of the United States, thereby continuing to affirm that God is addressing America, warning the nation of impending doom while chastising it for its egregious behavior. He goes on to say, all of those who inhabit the earth and also those who dwell in the land, when the sign of the upright pole is lifted up to demonstrate my purpose on my mountain, you will actually see, gaining a perspective to genuinely understand, and also when the shofar, ram's horn, trumpet sounds at this specific time to convey this plan, you will listen, paying attention, able to hear. Therefore, God is differentiating himself from this nation that he's describing as America. It's a choice. He's saying that America represents the option that is opposed to God, and this is, Yahweh is presenting himself as the alternative candidate. It's a referendum that everyone at this time is going to be able to vote upon, to choose whose side you wish to be on, whether it's the side of nationalism and politics and militarism and of economic schemes, the side of religion, or do you want to be on the side of having a relationship with Yahweh? That's the referendum that is being offered. And at this time, Yahweh is going to raise his standard. I think that him raising his standard is him making the statements that he etched in stone that depict who he is, his role in our lives, what he's opposed to, what he supports, and his instructions thereafter. I think he's going to have those raised above either Mount Zion or above Mount Moriah, very close together in Israel, for the whole world to see. It's probably above Mount Moriah, since they exist right below there now. And recognizing that the first of those statements introduces Yahweh by name and says, you know, if you choose to exist with any other god, you will die, that you will cease to be, that there is no way to continue to exist with any other god but Yahweh. And that first statement actually says that Yahweh is our Savior. He is the only one that you can rely on for your salvation. The second statement, God's just saying, don't be religious. Don't bow down in a religious context. Don't go to a religious context. Don't surround yourself with religious trappings. Don't speak on behalf of religious deities. And he says that by doing so, fathers corrupt their children to the third and fourth generation, which is precisely what religion does, and it does so through the father's influence. At the same time, he says that thousands will receive his mercy by paying attention to, by carefully examining and closely considering the conditions of his binding contract, which would be his covenant. And the third, he besmirches religious individuals for removing his name from his testimony and for promoting those things which are lifeless and counterproductive, saying that he's not going to forgive them. This leads then to seven instructions, the first on the importance of the Shabbat, of the Sabbath. And that's really what's going to happen at this time. The Torahless one is going to pronounce that the whole world has to worship on a Sunday, ignoring Yahweh's instructions regarding the Shabbat. And then God talks about our reverence for, our choice to view as significant our Heavenly Father and Spiritual Mother, and not commit adultery, which he's talking about here, choosing to be married to false gods, and not to bear false witness, and not to make a habit of killing, all of which religious and military and political institutions are doing. This is going to be a referendum then. Who are you going to choose? I'm not going to be here at this time. I'm going to be with Yahweh in his home, and God is going to make this referendum for those who remain on this earth. This is your time to choose. Are you going to choose Yahweh or human institutions? It behooves us to consider now why Yahweh would juxtapose this critical review of American behavior between his personal involvement in the demise of Islam and his raising of his banner and sounding of his shofar in Jerusalem for all the world to hear. And folks, I'm telling you, it is your personal referendum. If you are left behind, if you are here at that time, choose wisely. The fate of your soul will be dependent upon the choice that you make. We'll be with you at this time tomorrow. May God bless.